We read about Gideon, a judge who the Lord had risen up in Israel because the Israelites had turned away from worshiping Yahuwah. They had turned to other gods from nations around them, which meant they'd turned away from the protection of the Lord. So the Midianites, a surrounding nation, then was able to take them over and institute a rule of brutal oppression. It says in Judges 7, before our reading this morning, that the Midianites would watch as the Israelites would grow their crops and then destroy those crops and take their livestock and destroy their livestock. So before the Lord rose up Gideon, the Israelites had fled up into the mountains and they were living in caves and dens. Does that sound like a very nice way to be living? So afraid of the people who are ruling over you that you flee up into the mountains and live in caves. That was the situation the Israelites found themselves in because they had turned away from the protection of the Lord. So the Lord rose up Gideon as a judge because the Israelites finally realized they needed to call out to the Lord for help. And he helped them. And he helped Gideon select his army of 300. And you may remember that story. You may remember how the Lord led Gideon to select 300 mighty, brave warriors by how they lapped the water out of the brook. And then Gideon, with the Lord's help, led those 300 against the Midianite army in a battle where there were thousands and thousands of Midianite soldiers, but Gideon and his 300 were able to defeat them and chase them out of the Holy Land, chase them across the Jordan River to the east side of the Jordan River, out toward the wilderness. And that's where our reading picks up this morning from Judges chapter 8. Gideon and his men were exhausted. They had crossed the Jordan River. We're now in an area of the tribe of Gad on the east side of the Jordan. And think of all of the hard work they had done in battle, defeated an enemy of thousands and thousands of soldiers with only 300 men. So they were exhausted and they were hungry, and it says they were faint. You can think of what it feels like if you haven't eaten anything for a very long time and how you feel faint, you don't have strength. But think about how these men must have felt after fighting an incredible battle against an enemy so much bigger than them. So they simply asked the leaders of these two towns, Succoth and Penuel. They said, "Will you give us some bread?" Do you remember what those leaders said? Do you remember if the leaders gave them bread? They didn't give them bread. Instead, they said, "Have you captured the last two kings of the Midianites?" And when they realized that they had not captured the last two kings of the Midianites, they wouldn't give them bread, both in Succoth and Penuel, two cities in the tribe of Gad. They refused to help Gideon and his men by giving them bread. So Gideon took his men and went on and captured and killed the last two kings of the Midianites, and then came back and punished those leaders from Succoth and Penuel for not helping them. So this morning, we can compare Gideon and his 300 with the decisions made by the leaders of those two cities, Succoth and Penuel. We can see that Gideon and his 300 trusted in the Lord and trusted in the power of the Lord, even in a situation where it seems like there's no way they could succeed. 300 versus thousands and thousands of Midianites. But if we look at the internal sense, we can see that 300 relates to a state of fullness or completeness of good and truth from the Lord. And the name Gideon in the Hebrew language means one who cuts down or a warrior. So when we're full of goods and truths from the Lord, He'll lead us like warriors against evil spirits. And even if it seems like they're too powerful for us, thousands and thousands against only 300, the Lord will lead us in victory. So on one side, that's where Gideon and his army were operating from, trust in the Lord and knowing that the Lord would guide them to victory even against an enemy so much bigger than them. But then on the other hand, there were the leaders of Succoth and Penuel who refused to do something as simple as giving bread to Gideon and his tiny army. Now, why did they refuse to do that? Well, it seems that they were afraid of what the Midianites would do to them if they helped out Gideon and his men, and Gideon and his men didn't end up defeating and capturing and killing those last two kings. They seemed like they were afraid of retribution or revenge from the Midianites if they helped out the Lord's army. Now, the Midianites the Lord tells us in his second coming, correspond to falsities from evil. These are ideas that are not true, false ideas that motivate us to do evil things. So what are some false ideas that these leaders must have had to make this evil decision not to help Gideon and his men who were faint and hungry and had already fought an incredible battle? Well, the first false idea, an idea that simply isn't true, is that the Lord would not succeed with Gideon and only 300 soldiers. They doubted the power of the Lord. So you can see that's a false idea that the Midianites or the evil spirits want us to believe, is that we shouldn't do the right thing, even when it's hard, because the Lord might not help us, might not protect us if we do it. Now, here's another false idea that they must have been thinking. They must have been thinking that it was better to live under the Midianites than to risk whatever they were concerned about risking, maybe their lives or maybe their power, by helping Gideon and his 300. But let's think about how mistaken of an idea that is. What was the reason for this whole battle in the first place? Because the Midianites were so horrible in their rule over the Israelites. The Israelites were living in caves and dens. They were miserable. They didn't have any food to eat. But the leaders of Succoth and Penuel were willing to risk the oppression of the Midianites rather than helping out the Lord's army. And only false ideas will lead us to make decisions like that, to withhold bread from Gideon and his 300. So the evil spirits, the Midianites, they want us to think about the world and time and the consequences that will happen to us if we do the right thing, if we do good when it looks like it'll be hard. Because if we focus on what will happen to us in the immediate future, if we focus on what looks like a bad result if we do what's right, then we'll be able to make decisions like not helping out Gideon and his men by simply not giving them bread. But if we think from heaven and think from eternity, and think from the Lord, we'll see even though there might be some short-term consequences that will make life hard, in the long run, we'll make decisions following the Lord that will lead us to heaven and that will do good things for other people despite what might happen to us, it seems, at the time. Now, we can look at some examples and see how this might play out for us in specific decisions. We could take a situation where maybe we see an innocent person getting hurt in a fight, and we walk by, and we're afraid that if we get involved, we could get hurt ourselves. So we could, like the leaders of Succoth and Penuel, turn our backs on that innocent, good person, not offer any bread, and just walk away. Or we could call out for help. Or we could call on our cell phone to the police to get them to come and help. Or if we think we can make a difference, we can try to stop the fight ourselves. Even though there might be harm to us, because we're afraid if someone sees us trying to help, they might hurt us too. Now, another situation that may be more likely to happen, or maybe already has, is you could be with a group of friends that you've gotten to know and that you have a nice time with, and you like their company. And the conversation turns to something that you know isn't right. Maybe it's about picking on somebody who isn't there, or even picking on somebody who is. And we could be afraid. We know it's not right, but we could be afraid to say anything because we don't want to lose the association, the social affiliation with this group. So we could say, well, I think I won't say anything because I don't want to be not cool with these people anymore. That would be like the leaders of Succoth and Penuel being afraid of the consequences of doing what's right. Or you could try to figure out a way to reorient the direction of the conversation or stand up for the person who's getting picked on, even though it might mean that those people will say, well, you're not a friend of ours anymore. Now, one last example of the difference between siding with Gideon and his army and the leaders of Succoth and Penuel, for those of us who are older, could be an employment situation. Maybe we have a boss who wants us to do something that isn't quite right. Maybe treat another employee in a way that isn't very nice. Or maybe do something that's not entirely honest with a customer. And we could be afraid if we don't do it, we might not get a promotion. We might even get fired. Just like being afraid of the Midianites, we could do nothing or follow the directions to do the thing that isn't very nice or honest. Or we could side with Gideon and the Lord and know that doing the right thing ultimately will lead to victory over temptations from evil spirits. Because the Lord gives us his bread, his love that we can do good with from the word to share with other people, to give to other people. But not only when it is easy, but when it looks like it might be hard, too. And the evil spirits want to convince us that we should think from the consequences of the world and time to keep us from doing what's right, even when it's hard. But the Lord prepares us for situations exactly like this. And he prepares us through telling us in the heavenly doctrine exactly what the Midianites, what the evil spirits are going to say to us in our heads when we're in a situation where we know the right thing to do, where we know what's good, but we're tempted not to do it because it looks hard. The evil spirits will say, well, why should I do this? We read it in True Christian Religion. They'll say, well, what good is this going to do for me? And now we know that when we hear those questions in our head, those questions are coming from the evil spirits represented by the Midianites. Those questions are coming from evil spirits who want to hurt you whether you do something charitable or not. They want us to be miserable. Are we going to be happy if we walk by the innocent person getting hurt? Are we going to be happy if we don't stand up for that person whose character is being assassinated in that conversation? Are we going to be happy if we don't do what's right at work? We'll be under the oppression of the Midianites. We'll be hiding out in caves and dens in our minds. We'll be miserable for knowing that we didn't do what's right, even when it's hard. So instead of listening to those Midianite, those evil spirit questions of what's in it for me, now that we know this story, we can say we're going to side with Gideon and his army. We're going to side with the Lord because he is going to win every time. And because he is the one who is going to help us see that we can do good for the sake of good. And that we can act sincerely and justly for the sake of sincerity and justice. And that the Lord will lead us to victory just like he did Gideon and his 300, even when the enemy seems more powerful than we can imagine. Amen.